Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Alexis Nunez speaks exclusively to Erling Haaland, where he reveals his real feelings about the PSG players imitating his celebration. We'll also be hearing from Mauricio Pochettino and his hopes of returning to Spurs as coach one day. We'll be hearing from Stevie Nicol, Frank Leboeuf, Ali Moreno, Gab Marcotti and Julien Laurent. We'll start, though, as we always do, looking at how the coronavirus is affecting football around the world. And of course, all eyes at the moment, certainly when it comes to football fans, are on the Bundesliga, because it seems there they are the more likely to return to action ahead of anybody else at the moment. Gab Marcotti and Julien Laurent with us. Gab, obviously there was that meeting today with the German government. What do we learn?
So yeah, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel meeting with the prime ministers of the 16 German states. And effectively what we learned today is that the decision's been pushed down the road to next Wednesday. What's come out of the meeting is that they had other priorities to deal with, frankly, and they're going to look at this further on. They're going to get more information in. I think at this stage the consensus seems to be the best case scenario is a start on May 23rd, possibly May 16th, but as I said, there is no green light, and there will be no green light until next Wednesday at the earliest.
Jules, obviously not what we were hoping to hear.
You're right. We said with Gab this morning as well when we recorded the podcast how big a day this could be, because, like you said, everybody had their eyes on Germany, the ones who want football to resume, hoping that they get the green light for the Bundesliga to start again as early as May. Early May as well, and the others who are not so keen on football resuming, like President Macron, for example, who is calling everyone in Europe to do the same as in France, were maybe hoping for the opposite. And right now, I think Angela Merkel bought a bit of time, more time to make a stronger protocol maybe, or look at more options and what they could do better to make sure that football resumes, if that's really what they want. But it's a bit of a disappointment, just in the sense that we thought we would have a better idea of when we finally could see some football back in Europe.
Meanwhile, of course, as we reported earlier this week, the French season is over. Here are the results of the meeting today. The LFP have decided to leave Ligue 1, Ligue 2 tables as they stand after the last match was played. So, PSG to be named Ligue 1 champions. Marseille to qualify for the Champions League group stage. Rennes to join the competition in the third qualifying round. Toulouse and Amiens to be relegated to Ligue 2. Lorient and Lens to be promoted up into the top division. Jules, how has this been received in France?
Well, it got a bit messy, as you would imagine, because each owner or president or CEO was fighting their corners, and rightly so, trying to get the best outcome possible for their clubs. And you think if you're Toulouse and you're bottom of the table with 13 points, you won three games in the whole season, or the three quarters that we played. Yeah, and you're still trying to escape from relegation. This is a bit pushy, but that's what they did. And so with Lyon, who were desperate to go into Europe. And I think in the end, people found a consensus is that it's fair in a way to stop at the last table. They did also a ratio of points won per game to make sure that it was as fair as possible in the current circumstances. And I think in the end, there might be a few legal actions or start of legal actions, but in the end, I don't think anything will change. That's what the Federation and the league have decided. They voted for that. They went for it. And in fairness, when you've played three quarters of a season, that's probably the right decision to make in the end. Yes, I am. I think it was the right decision to stop the season where it stopped and not to resume because it was not safe enough. And two, if that's what you've decided, more than have a blank season or a voided season and not give a winner and a champions or no relegation or promotion, I think the best decision, the best answer was what they did.
Gab, you comfortable with this decision?
I'm super comfortable with this decision, not least because, as Jules told us on the podcast this morning, those were the regulations in the league before it started. But I'll go further. I'm comfortable with other leagues sitting down and working things out and where appropriate. In Holland, they decided to go and put this to a vote, whether there should be a champion, whether there should not be a champion. Obviously, you had two teams level on points there. I think sitting here squabbling about money and relegation and should they be recognized as champions? No, they shouldn't. you know, you can reach solutions when it comes to money. You can rejigger the way teams are compensated next season. You can share out prize money. You can find solutions there. You know, the rest of it, prestige, did we finish fifth or eighth? Frankly, given the current circumstances, I kind of feel like saying, who cares? Grow up. Leave your asterisk to one side and show some leadership and find a solution, because there are far more important things to sort out right now.
Before I let you go, Gab, I want to ask you about what's going on in Italy, because there seems to be somewhat of a conflict about when players can get back to training.
It's one of the many things which hasn't been resolved yet. They were hoping that they could go back to training on May 4th. At the time being, now it doesn't look like it's going to happen. They're working on a new protocol. If that gets the green light, the government saying that they're open to them returning to training on May 18th. Obviously, we just keep pushing this further and further down the road.
Gab Marcotti and Juliana Ron, thank you very much. Just a reminder, you can catch the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast. That's over on our website. Be sure to download it.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Talk Kristen Carlsen's top 10 of players under the age of 21 has caused quite the stir, including with one of the players in that list. Alexa Nunes spoke to Erling Haaland.
How does it feel being regarded as one of not just the best strikers or young players, but one of the best players in the world?
Who is over me?
You want the full list?
Yes.
Number one on the list is Kylian Mbappe.
He's under 21?
Okay. He's 21 and 21 and under.
Okay.
Number two on that list is Jadon Sancho.
It's a very good list.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not happy, but since it's such a strong list, I'm not mad, no.
Would you move yourself, you know, either higher or lower? Where do you feel you rank?
No comment.
One place higher? You can be honest. It's fine.
No. It's okay. It's okay. It's a good list. So I don't judge.
Speaking of all these young players that we have spoken about, could you give me your dream 21 and under five-a-side team?
I would take me. Okay, then Donnarumma and goal. Mm-hmm. Mbappe. Jaden and De Ligt.
It's a pretty strong team. We'll take that. I know one of the, obviously something that's been overwhelming now is just the lockdown and the coronavirus that's been going on. How have you, you know, dealt with it, and how happy are you to be back at training, even though it's, like you said, in small groups?
As I said, I'm always staying positive and I try to not think too much about it. I cannot do so much about it than to stay home and to follow the rules. So, I just try to enjoy every day in my life and to get better.
And then, of course, before, you know, the lockdown all started, you had, I suppose, a bittersweet Champions League tie with PSG. You had two amazing goals. You know, what did you learn from that tie?
Yeah, it was, as you say, it was a good first leg, but the second leg was not good. So I learned a lot from these two games, and Yeah, it's experience. You cannot. You have to be in the moment and to live in the moment to get the experience.
That second goal, that left-footed stunner, it was absolutely amazing. I know Gio Reyna had said something that once they see you in the box, everyone just turns their back because they know you're going to score. Was that, you know, where does that rank in some of your best goals? And does it come to you just that easy as you make it look?
Yeah, as you say, it was a very nice goal. Yeah, and I enjoyed it a lot to score that goal, and it was a fantastic night for me and my family. And I'm proud of that night.
And then of course, you had the famous meditation celebration after when PSG imitated it. Did that bother you a little or nah?
No, not really. I think they helped me a lot to get meditation out in the world and to show to the whole world that meditation is an important thing. So I'm thankful that they helped me with that.
And then, you know, I'd almost want to ask you who you'd invite to meditate with you if you could, but I think there's two people that you have said that you look up to as well, and that's Zlatan and Cristiano. What about them do you like so much?
The one thing they have in common is how hungry they are for goals, and you can just see it on them before every game. When I've been watching a lot of games, and when I was sitting back in Molde in my former club in Norway, and watching Champions League, you could just see it in Ronaldo's face that today I'm the man. Today I will score goals, and that's what he did, you know. So that's what I like the best, that how dedicated and how hungry they are to succeed and to be the man in the moment.
Frank Leboeuf and Ali Moreno then here to discuss that interview between Alexis and Erling Haaland. Ali, I wanted to start with you on that final answer that he gave. It sounded like the right answer to me, if you like.
Well, of course it is. If you're a center forward and you want to be the man, you want to be the guy that carries the responsibility, you have to have an obsession with scoring goals. You have to have a hunger with scoring goals. It has to be your whole life becomes about scoring goals and putting yourself in a position where you can do that game in and game out. As a striker, Erling Haaland would suggest, as we have seen in the very short term of period of time that we have seen him in the big stage, that is his priority. And he puts himself in a position when he can do that with consistency. In terms of his ability to score goals, I think the most impressive thing about it is that there's variety to the ways that he has scored those goals. He can score the tapping, but he can also score the shot from the top of the 18-yard box. He can run away from people. He can run around defenders. He can get around goalkeepers. And so there's a lot about Erling Haaland that you have to like. But most of all, you have to enjoy and appreciate the fact that when he's talking about scoring goals, his eyes light up. When he's talking about scoring goals, it becomes very much part of second nature. It is what drives him. It is what he feels is the most important part about his game. And that, if you're a Borussia Dortmund fan, you have to love.
Most definitely. We hear some bland interviews, don't we, Frank, where players just kind of going through the motions. But you can see when Alexis talking about the goals, talking about trying to emulate Ronaldo and Zlatan with that attitude, he's very much on the same page.
He is. And I like him because you can't say that he has a specific talent, but he seems to have everything. And most of the thing is he has the thoughts. He feels football, he eats football, he drinks and sleeps football. We can feel that he understood everything about football, the way that he has to work with his teammates, the way he has to become selfish, as Alejandro said and explained before, about scoring goals and getting the right examples with Zlatan and Cristiano. That guy has everything to become the best striker in the world, that's for sure.
Of course, currently number 8 in our list, according to Tor Christian Carlsen. He's put him down there. He said that just he needs more experience at a big club to make it higher up the list, which is topped by Kylian Mbappe, and as we discussed yesterday, Jadon Sancho there as well as Trent Alexander-Arnold. Ali, what I liked about it, he seemed pretty genuinely annoyed that he was 8th.
And he should be annoyed because this game that we love to watch and play and that has been part of our lives forever and ever is about scoring goals. And he has proven that he can do that. He did it at Salzburg, and now he's doing it at Dortmund. And there were people that thought, okay, you know, what's his transition going to be like when he goes from Salzburg and takes the jump up to Dortmund? Maybe he's going to have to take some time to kind of get used to the Bundesliga. Yeah, not so much. He's scoring goals there right away. And then you think, well, maybe he's not quite ready to take that jump now to Champions League. Oh, no, no. He went and scored goals there as well. And so when I hear people say things like, well, maybe he's going to have to work on his heading, because there's an expectation that if you're a tall guy, you have to be a great header of the ball. Well, I could turn that around and say, wait a minute. He's doing things that you expect little guys to be doing, and he, with his size, he's doing it naturally. You can teach somebody to head the ball, but you cannot teach people instincts. And he has instincts. And there's going to be a maturity and a growth process that he's going to go through that's going to make him even better and stronger as a player, not only physically, but in the mindset as he approaches bigger and bigger games. He's only going to get better. His ceiling is so much higher than everybody else's. And I have to say, 8th in this list is way, and I mean way too low for Erling Haaland. He is among the very best in that age group.
De Ligt, Donnarumma, Vinicius Jr., all above him. Where would you have him, Ali?
I would have him above Vinicius Jr. Because I can have tricky guys down the wing that take people on in one-on-one situations. And those are guys that, yeah, they're good to have in a team. They can make a difference for you. But you need to score goals in order to win games. And natural goal scorers, they're hard to come by. Truly natural goal scorers, those are generational talents. And if this guy continues in the path that we have seen him and continues to trend in the direction that we have seen him, then he becomes, as Frank alluded earlier, perhaps the best in the world. And if you're the best striker in the world, that's the guy that you want to have on your team.
Frank, where would you put him on this list?
Well, I would say that except Kylian Mbappe, because of more experience, more games, maybe more talent, I will put him in the second place. At first I said, okay, he's young, he's maybe like a newborn baby, 6 months old for the soccer fans, so we didn't see him a lot playing. And he just came from Austria to Germany. He plays in Bundesliga. He doesn't play in the Premier League. So maybe it's normal. And then I look at the ranking and I see a goalkeeper, Donnarumma, fantastic goalkeeper. It's going to be maybe at Chelsea or maybe in Paris Saint-Germain next year. But I think I saw more Haaland than Donnarumma. Then I see Havertz playing for Leverkusen, didn't play in the Champions League. Very strange. And I see, for me, surprisingly, Sancho being second. When I compare the two players, because then you can compare, they play almost same place at front, let's say. They play for the same club. They play this normally the same amount of game. But no, Alan played more than Jendon. And Erling played was more effective than this player. So how come in the world he can be behind him? Sancho is a fantastic player. He has the talent. He might go somewhere else next season. But can you compare Haaland with the impact he made lately with any other player but maybe Mbappe? That's the question I ask. The others don't count. It's just Haaland is the man.
Last word then on this, Frank. He said that he wasn't bothered about the meditation celebration being imitated.
Yeah, he starts to have some experience, you know, about talking. he knows that it was the player, Paris Saint-Germain player, were teasing him, and he turned that to his advantage, and that's very clever. And I'm very pleased. I'm a Buddhist, and I meditate as well, so I'm very pleased that it's becoming a kind of a fashion movement to do after scoring a goal. So I encourage everybody to do that.
Frank Leboeuf, as always, you are unique. Thank you very much. Ali Moreno will be joining us on Extra Time a little later on with Stevie Nicol. plenty of time for reflection at the moment. Spurs fans looking at what Mauricio Pochettino achieved during his time at the club. It is quite an impressive CV. Some surprised when he got the sack. This was the Argentine speaking this week about wanting to go back someday as manager.
Yes, was an amazing journey. Was an amazing journey that finished in the way that, of course, no one want to finish. But deeper in my chest, in my soil, in my heart, I am sure that our way will cross again, and for sure from the day that I left the club, my dream is again one day to be back and to try to finish the work that we didn't finish, because I think it was an amazing journey. I think we were so close to winning the right trophies, Premier League or Champions League. We were very close, but we stopped this way now. Of course, I am looking forward to move on and try. I am so motivated for the next project. But of course, deep inside, I would like one day to be back.
Well, let's welcome back Julien Laurent, and for the first time on the show, Stevie Nicol with us as well. Stevie, you surprised he's coming out and saying this and being so honest?
No, not at all. Oh, you think he's being honest? He's being nice. That's what he's doing. I mean, what do you think he's going to say? Oh, I'm glad to be away. I don't ever want to go back. I'll never return. Listen, he's saying what you should say. Now, there is a chance he does believe it. But at the end of the day, it's the right thing to say. Clearly, he did enjoy his time at Tottenham. And so, for the fans, he's absolutely going to say that. Now, what his relationship or what he thinks about Daniel Levy could be a lot different than what he thinks about the fans.
Jules, will hindsight be a benefiting factor in this? And do you think Spurs will regret sacking him overall?
It's only time will tell. I guess it's an interesting one, because they went for Jose Mourinho, which was the complete opposite to Pochettino, really. I think 5 years is a long time at this current time, if you're a manager in any club, really. And 5 years were very good as well under Pochettino, and maybe he just ran out of steam, and maybe there was the right thing, the right call from everyone to have a break there, and for club and him to do different things. I'm not sure that going back to a club where you've been successful or kind of successful is always a good idea. However, I completely agree with Stevie. He was not going to say anything different than, of course, I would want to come back. Of course, I was happy there, which he was. I just think that he ran out of energy and it was time for him to stop there.
Stevie, as time told us, it was an error to sack him.
I don't necessarily think so. Listen, there hasn't... When he got the sack because the team was poor. The team was bad. The team had been struggling. Yes, they got to a European Cup final, but for a good period of time, probably 6 months, other than the Champions League, they were struggling. And so, I don't think it was a huge surprise. I don't think it was a huge mistake. I think I'm with Jules that, you know, he kind of had run out. I think the time was up for his spell at Spurs. I think the most important thing is that clearly the players weren't behind Pochettino the way they were. And when that happens as a manager, as a coach, you're done. So I don't think it was the wrong move. I just think the wrong move was bringing in the guy they did.
Quickly, Jules, last word on this. Do you think he's going to be the next Newcastle manager?
No, that's as quick as I can do. I don't think so. I think, no offence to Newcastle, but he will be aiming for a bigger club with maybe bigger ambitions and bigger squad as well.
Julien Laurent and Stevie Nicol, as always, thank you very much. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to join us.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favours. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Napa Know-How.
Father's Day knickknacks. That funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you to everyone who has been on Alexis Nunes and that interview with Erling Haaland, Frank LaBeouf, Stevie Nicol, Ali Moreno, goodness me, Julian Laurent, it keeps going, Gab Marcotti. We'll be back tomorrow for more for the last show of the week. However, we'll leave you with extra time with Ali and Stevie. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your questions. Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol with us. Stevie, first question is for you. Do you think Liverpool should be awarded the title, like what happened in the French League? If yes, why? If no, why?
No, I don't. I think when everybody's clear to start playing, then you see out the season. That's always been my stance, and actually, regardless of Liverpool, I think it's even more important for the relegation battles, because, you know, if you decide to give the title to Liverpool, then clearly you're going to decide who comes up, who goes down, and the reasons behind that, which is never going to work. So personally, I don't give it to Liverpool. I think you see the season out, considering there's only, 9-10 games maximum for teams left.
Ali?
Well, that's assuming that you can see the season out and that the timing works out. But the problem is that we're running out of time, and it continues to be a moving target, and dates kind of get thrown around, and then you realize, all right, this virus is going nowhere, and so therefore we have to kind of shift and change and try to make sure that safety and health is a priority, and then we can get to a point in which we can consider playing games. So if you cannot see the season out because of the current circumstances, then I would say if this was a close title race, I said no, that you can't just give it to Liverpool. But the fact that Liverpool have been head and shoulders above everybody else and they lead the league by seemingly 100 points, yes, give them the title. However, hang on and hold on as to what you do in the relegation area, because that is, and I agree with Stevie, that is the key conversation here, and the key aspect to this is that you have to resolve that down there because of what it means to clubs and the difference financially between being in the Premier League and not being in the Premier League. That to me is a far bigger conversation. Liverpool, if indeed you're not able to play the games, Liverpool should certainly, because of their body of work, should be awarded the title.
Stevie, is it too early to call Naby Keita a flop at Liverpool?
Yes, I think it is. I think because of the strength and depth that Klopp's got in the middle of the field, when Naby Keita initially came in and didn't settle very quickly, then you don't play him. Because you can play other players. You know, certain teams can bring a player in, and even though they're not quite hitting the heights they thought, they have to stick with them and they have to give them time. So I think Naby Keita, yes, he hasn't lived up to what we thought he could be just yet. I think he still can, but he certainly will need more time. So I'm not ready to call him a flop yet.
Ali, what was the most surprising offer for a transfer you received during your career, be it good or bad?
I was, at one point, towards the end of my career, really, I was offered a possibility of going to the United Arab Emirates. And it was for what was back then an absurd amount of money. And I was thinking about it. And I was having conversations with my family and saying, all right, well, is this something that I'm going to do? Am I going to do it on my own? Am I taking the whole family? How does this change the family dynamics? So on and so forth. And while I was in those conversations, the coach got fired and the offer was gone, and see you guys later. But yeah, for a period of about 2 to 3 weeks there, there was a possibility of me going to the UAE.
Was the general consensus from the family, you go, Ali, it's fine, we'll stay here, just send us the check?
Yes, when I say that the family dynamics were part of the conversation, it wasn't so much about the family as much as it was, yes, you're going to have a great time on your own, we'll be here, don't worry about it, I'll take care of the kids, they'll be going to school, and then we'll see you at the end of the season. Take care, I love you, babe, love you, take care, bye-bye.
Stevie, what about you?
I actually had an offer to go to Glasgow Rangers, my boyhood team growing up. I supported them. I had an offer from Mr. Graham Souness when he was there. But I couldn't be swayed, shall we say. I figured out I knew where my bread was buttered most. Clearly the money was twice what I was on at Liverpool, but you know what? It's never always about the money, and it was a good decision not to go.
Ali, should Joseph Martinez make a move away from MLS to continue his growth?
No, he's been in Europe, and he had a inconsistent time. There were moments in which he was scoring goals and other moments in which he wasn't, and it didn't quite work out for him. He comes to MLS, does very well, dominates the league, and has now put together even though it's been a short period of time, a great and successful career in Major League Soccer. Not only successful on the field, but successful off the field as well, in which he's making a good chunk of money. And so as I look for Jose Martinez and into the future, what I see is a guy that is very comfortable in Atlanta, that is going to be a legend in Atlanta, is going to be a legend in this league, is going to continue to do a lot of great things, is going to be beloved, he's going to be playing in front of 60,000 people in that stadium. He's going to be the hero in Atlanta, in first-class facilities, with a club that is run in the best way possible within the confines of Major League Soccer. I just don't see a motivation for him to have to take a leap of faith anywhere else. He is well-suited and well-positioned in Major League Soccer. And, oh, by the way, before he starts thinking about the growth of his career, he's got to really just think about, guess what? Let me get healthy again. And once I recover, once I get healthy and I start playing well, start scoring goals, then I can somehow frame some objectives and goals for the future. But in terms of his growth as a player, I think MLS for him right now is where he feels best, he feels most comfortable. And I don't think he's chasing any sort of dreaming going elsewhere.
Next question is for you, Stevie. Oh, you mentioned this before. Your favourite team growing up, Rangers, of course, in Scotland. Did you have another side that you follow?
Oh, Ayr United. That was my local team. My father was from here. The games I used to go and see generally were when Rangers and Celtic came to play Ayr United. So I had two teams, Rangers because my next door neighbour, since I can remember, was a big Rangers fan, and as soon as he could, he showered me with scarves, socks, ties, jumpers, you name it, and that's how I started becoming a Rangers fan. But because my dad was an Ayr fan, I supported Ayr as well. And of course, that's who I played for, and that's who Liverpool signed me from, Ayr United.
Who would have thought? Young Stevie Nicol playing for Ayr United, and look how he's flown, like a beautiful eagle soaring in the
blossomed
sky.
Blossomed.
Beautiful storm.
Blossomed.
Ali, what about you? Your favourite team growing up?
Locally in Venezuela would have been Deportivo Táchira, El Carrusel Aurinegro. Coincidentally, it had the same colours as the Columbus Crew, where I had my most successful time in Major League Soccer, so there's a connection there. In terms of in European soccer, I would say that at that time I was a big fan of Juventus with Michel Platini, Laudrup, Ian Rush at one point that went and played for Juventus. But the combo package of Platini, Laudrup, and then the Polish superstars, Zvonimir Boniek, that was indeed my favorite team growing up.
That's it, boys. Thank you very much to Ali and to Stevie. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Keep your questions coming in. Till then, goodbye.